Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
We have a repeat visitor on China America Radio on our Spectrum show. It's Herb Tam, who's here from MoCA, Museum of Chinese in America. And before we get started, we're going to be talking about the next or the current exhibit that's at MoCA that's going to be running from now through spring. But the one thing I had to comment on when I saw this exhibit was that if most people in the United States don't know anything about the Chinese culture, they know a little bit about Chinese food. It's probably the opus to the culture for many people, rightly or wrongly, depending on who's fixing the food. So anyway, welcome to China America Radio, and give us a little backstory on how this exhibit came to be and what it is officially representing.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. So the exhibition Sour, Sweet, Bitter, Spicy started thinking about it a couple years ago, and we wanted to do something that was building off on a show we had done 10 years ago called Have You Eaten Yet? And that was an exhibition about the history of Chinese food in America and Chinese restaurants. And, you know, 12 years later, things are really different with regards to Chinese food in America. A lot of people, like exploring different regional cuisines of China now and are interested in, being challenged by what they're eating, and they want to learn more about this cuisine. So we thought it'd be a good time to try to define what Chinese food actually is and also talk about issues of food and identity and sort of what food actually means to Chinese people just try to touch on a lot of the things that the first show, didn't cover or didn't cover as broadly.
In addition to the fact that probably there aren't that many people that saw the first show in the first place, just due to the status of the museum at the time. Mm-hmm. I do know that when you walk into MoCA, you go to the lobby area, then you come in, and what is generally the big exhibition hall now has been laid out as a giant dining table. And it has various representations of types of Chinese food as you walk all the way around it. How did this layout, how did this design come to be?
We were inspired by Judy Chicago's installation at the Brooklyn Museum called The Dinner Table. That piece is also a dinner table. It's triangular. There are different people that have place settings at the table, and for her piece, it's historical and mythical women. Our big table, which is rectangular, has place settings for all the different chefs that are included in our exhibition. And in the exhibition, we're trying to imagine if all these chefs were actually here, what kind of conversations they'd be having. And that's what's on the video installation around the room is all the chefs in the exhibition talking about their food memories, growing up and sort of adapting to a new environment, whether that be in America or wherever, and talking about how they got into cooking in the first place, and ideas about authenticity, ideas about how they define Chinese food. And so it covers like a very broad area in terms of what they talk about. But hopefully, people that come to the exhibition at least get a sense of that there are very diverse experiences that make up Chinese food in America.
So in addition to it being visual, which it certainly is, it also has given the museum an opportunity to interact with actual chefs and also to branch out and do some other events associated with food and enjoying Chinese cooking. Let's start at the corner here at the beginning. Tell us kind of who we have represented and what the cuisine would be.
Yeah, the first two chefs in the that start the exhibition, really interesting contrast. Danny Bowen, who has a restaurant here in New York's Chinatown called Mission Chinese. He's a Korean-American who's adopted, grew up in Oklahoma, and he cooks Cantonese and Sichuan food. He does it in a very sort of experimental way. And then next to him is Peter Chang, who has restaurants in the D.C. area. He used to be the chef of the Chinese ambassador in Washington, D.C., and he's very highly trained in Sichuan and Cantonese cooking. He's from Hubei. And he, you know, his cooking is actually very, I would say, true to sort of traditional Sichuan and Cantonese food because he was trained there. So it's an interesting contrast because you have Danny, who's very experimental, and Peter, who's kind of classically trained, if you want to put it that way.
If our listeners hear a little bit of an echo, it's because we're actually in the exhibit hall and we're actually walking around and taking a look at all of the things that are here. I guess probably the Cantonese cuisine was the first one to really catch hold, basically because of all of the people from South China that came in to the west coast of the United States. And that's what I guess most people in America say represents Chinese food to them.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the first people that came to the U.S. from China were from the Guangdong region, a very specific area, the Pearl River Delta area. And when they came here, they cooked that kind of food but adapted it to, you know, local tastes. And some of their customers were non-Asian, so they had to adapt to that kind of taste. So, you know, as the years went by, like, a very specific kind of cooking evolved from that history, which is kind of known as American Chinese or Chinese American cooking, things like chop suey and, you know, fortune cookies, egg rolls.
Egg foo young and also using American ingredients as substitutes for things that were not generally available here from China.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, later on, as more immigrants from other parts of China came and China opened up a little bit more, that's when you saw more different regional styles of cooking come in, Sichuan food from Sichuan and Hunan food kind of during the 60s and 70s became more popular, you know, and then now there's so many more different regional cuisines here, especially in New York. If you go to Flushing or even here in Manhattan Chinatown or Brooklyn's Chinatown, you know, you get to eat from all over China.
I'm really happy that those influences kicked in because I enjoy the spicier foods, and the Hunan and the Sichuan cuisines are more to my liking. However, when we think about Chinese food and restaurants, the one province that seems to peak because of the employees and because of the background is Fujian. And the next chef I see is one of the specialists from that region. Let's talk a little bit about her.
Yeah, this is Nancy Chen. So she's a home cook. In other words, she doesn't have a restaurant, or she's not, you know, trained as a restaurant chef. And we wanted to include home chefs, home cooks, because, you know, that's so much a part of everybody's experiences, having their, you know, mom or grandmother or father or grandfather cook for them. And we wanted to have that kind of experience as part of the exhibition. And she is from Fujian province, but she grew up in Taiwan, Nancy Chen did. And she still makes Fujianese food for her family, but she talked about how she's had to adapt it because, you know, some of her kids might not like some of the flavor profiles. So, you know, she's had to adapt too, even though she doesn't cook for sort of paying customers. She cooks for her kids. And
that can be a very critical judgeship there with cooking for children. Well, I don't want to give away the entire show because you can sit and walk around. We've only covered four or five of the – how many total chefs do you have here?
There are 33 chefs. And we also, in the center of the table, have defined 18 regional cuisines. So, you know, Cantonese food is defined – Anhui food is defined, Yunnan food is defined, Zhejiang food. A lot of the cuisines that from regions that a lot of people don't know about in the U.S. and maybe have never tasted, you know, we've tried to define those here. Even though we know that there are many more different regional cuisines in China, this is just 18, and there you could probably say that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of different cuisines in China that are distinct. But it's a beginning, and hopefully people, when they come to the exhibition, get to see just how different cuisines are in China, and hopefully it can will prompt them to explore more or question, you know, what kind of foods they've had in the past.
You have the these ceramic representations of all of the different cuisines also, and you have the ubiquitous circular rotating table in the middle of the room here, which is also extremely Chinese culturally. Tell me a little bit about the art depictions of the food, each dish at each place setting, as well as the ceramic representations of the cuisines.
Yeah, the ceramics are really important for the exhibition. We asked two artists, Heidi Lau and Liu Zhang, to work on the ceramics together. They started by working on the regional ceramics, taking into account like the landscape of the region, the types of food and ingredients that are available, and coming up with a sculpture that represented that regional cuisine. And then from there, they created ceramics specifically for each chef that defined what kind of food they cooked. So, for instance, the ceramic for Nancy Chen, her ceramic looks like a representation of the Fujian ceramic. So there's a kind of visual matching game that visitors can play by trying to define what types of cuisines, like a certain chef cooks, by looking at the big regional ceramic.
So folks can come into the museum, they can come into this exhibit. There's some large benches around. I guess people can sit down, read, and look at a section of the exhibit while they're watching the four big video screens, and then they can kind of move on so they can pick and choose. Do you have any one particular chef or one particular cuisine or part of the exhibit that kind of jumps out for you personally, since you're the guy that sort of has your fingerprints on the exhibits?
Yeah, let's go to the end of the table on this side. And I wanted to talk about the Yunnan is a region that is in the southwest of China, so kind of close to Tibet, just south of Tibet. And it's a region not too many Americans are familiar with probably, but they have a really interesting cuisine that incorporates a lot of the Southeast Asian ingredients. But they're also known for a specific kind of way of cooking soup, and the ceramic sort of indicates that. It's got a sort of conical spout, and in the Yunnan tradition, there's a ceramic pot that is shaped like a cone, and water kind of boils through it, just like almost like an espresso stovetop espresso maker. Mm-hmm. The soup kind of boils up out of the top of the spout, and then kind of rains down on all the sides of the cone, and at the bottom is a basin that catches all of the soup. And so the ceramic sort of represents that, as well as on the side of the ceramic you'll see like different sort of smaller, almost like spoon-like shapes.
Like shells, kind of, almost, yeah.
And those are actually supposed to be mushroom shapes, and mushrooms are a really important ingredient in Yunnan food. So
it's a very multicultural, ethnically diverse area as well, so it introduces some additional flavors and foods not found in many parts of China. It's all practically next door to Vietnam.
That's right. And, you know, they have a famous kind of soup noodle called crossing the bridge noodles, and if you've eaten that, it's feels very similar to certain kinds of Vietnamese, like pho noodle soups. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely that's an interesting region where you can see the different, cultural influences on Yunnan food.
Any one more high spot before we close out our little visit here to Mocha and all this food, because I'm getting hungry?
Well, one chef that has a really interesting story is Donyar Sobatov, who has a restaurant out in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn. And they serve food from the Xinjiang region
like
of China.
Russian-Chinese.
Exactly.
Hybrid area.
Yeah. And his family is actually from Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. And he was born in that country. But a lot of people from China and from other parts of Central Asia and Eastern Europe go to his restaurant, and they have really interesting food there. A lot of Chinese kind of influences that you can easily pick out, but definitely a lot of like Central Asian and Muslim cuisine. So great lamb skewers there, great noodles that that feel very much like Chinese food.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to tell where Russia starts and China stops in that part of the world.
Yeah.
So tell me about the exhibit itself, the hours, and how long is it going to be here, and do you have any other ancillary events going on in addition to the exhibit between now and the time the exhibit closes?
The museum's open Tuesdays to Sunday. We're closed Mondays, but open late on Thursdays until 9. And the exhibition is actually was slated to close on March 26, 2017, but it's been so popular we decided to extend it. So we're going to actually close it now September 10th, 2017. So it's on for a while. And because of that, we're going to start planning a lot more public events related to the exhibition. We've already had many great events where we've served food. We want people to be able to try some of the food we're talking about. You know, definitely we're going to plan more for next year, and people should check out our website to be updated on all that. It's www.mochanyc.org.
Well, Herb, it's been great for having you take your time to take us around and show us this big, beautiful table. I look forward to coming back again and seeing some people looking at it. We're here on a closed day, so we sort of had the run of the place. But thank you for taking the time to do that. It's a beautiful exhibit, and as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm getting hungry just walking through here. So I guess I'll probably walk not very far and find any one of these cuisines, correct?
Exactly. We're in a great place for food, Chinatown. And yeah, we always appreciate you coming back to the museum and talking to us about what we're doing.
It's our pleasure. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.